Thank you for joining the I Love South Orange County podcast, which the purpose of the podcast is to give you information you don't hear anywhere else and to peel the layers off issues, look at them from every possible angle. We usually bring people here with college degrees. If they don't have a college degree, they're smart, they read, and they give you insight you're not getting anywhere else. We're bringing back Andy O'Connor, longtime resident, activist, taxpayer advocate here in Lake Forest. And today we're going to peel the layer off of the corruption scheme of companies that act like oligarchs, like fascist oligarchs, like the Toll Brothers and Five Points. Used to be William Lyon, but they just got bought out.
By Taylor Morrison.
Taylor Morrison. And what they do is they pay off politicians, and the long-term effects are horrible. Right now it's inflated. Property values later on is going to be crime. Really, crime in overpopulated areas. And we're going to focus here on Lake Forest. And Andy, if you can tell us the story behind the sports park. It was, what, $88 million?
Yeah, Josh, they just always keep claiming it's a world-class sports park. Well, you know, I'd like to refute that. First of all, it does have two full-size artificial turf soccer fields, which are pretty good. But then again, you look at America's favorite pastimes, baseball, and I was on the committee early on saying we need a 60-90 baseball field. And they penciled it in, believing they were going to do it. But when it came down last minute, Voigt saw that his soccer fields were going to be smaller, so he kicked the 60-90 baseball field out so he could keep our soccer fields. So, you know, right there, Voigt used his, I hate to say it, power, but to get his way for him in the AYSO. And then the turf started to die, and they needed to be replaced, and the turf specialist came in and refuted what Voigt wanted to do. Voigt wanted to spend $500,000, and the turf expert says, it's not going to work. It's going to die. Sure enough, two years later, that $500,000, it's all dead. So you can't tell this guy Voigt anything. Factual stuff, it goes in one ear and out the other. You know, case in point, he went to a conference up in Long Beach, middle of October, for 2 days, called the
League... Using taxpayers' money.
Right. League of California Cities. Okay, so he goes there for 2 days. At the last council meeting, he says, oh, I forgot to mention that I went to this conference in Long Beach called the Conference of California Cities. Okay, Scott, well, can you tell us what you did there? I mean, you expensed the city for 2 nights, lodging and food. Can you tell us what you did? Nope. Nikki, same thing. Yeah, I failed to mention I went there too. Okay, Nikki, can you tell us what you did? Oh, nothing. Tedemer, same thing. The distance from their house to Long Beach was 33 miles. These people could not carpool, okay?
Voigt says or take a train.
You know, they couldn't do that. They couldn't carpool in Voigt's van up and back. No, they all went separately, so that causes more carbon pollution.
Right.
Stay overnight. And the ironic thing is Councilman Dwight Robinson works at the Port of Los Angeles. His business is there. He didn't even show up for this conference.
Port of Long Beach, right. It's in Long Beach, yeah.
Right. So probably a couple of miles from his conference center. Robinson doesn't even show up. But he travels 220 days a year from Lake Forest to Long Beach every day, and he does it. But these three prima donna councilmen, they can't do it. They got to get hotel rooms. And then they don't report to the constituents what the hell they did there. It's crazy.
Now, getting back to the sports park. So the sports park, what happened was, and correct me if I'm wrong, Andy, so these developers, they paid for the city council, and the way they do it is through a money laundering racketeering scheme that we're going to describe.
Well, it was a land swap with the Irvine Ranch Water District. The Irvine Ranch Water District gave the city that land. In exchange, Irvine Water District got to build 600 homes on Serrano Summit. So it's just this quid pro, you know,
stuff. Quid pro quo, yeah.
It keeps going back and forth, and these guys get away with it. It's just incredible.
It's illegal, but nobody's watching it. That's why we're trying to educate as many people as possible.
And the thing with the Nakasay property, Tadimer works for Irvine Ranch Water District, and Niki works for SoCal Gas Company. Both of these companies, agencies, are going to reap millions of dollars off this 700-plus home project, and they need to recuse themselves when it comes up for a vote. Neither one of them will, because they're getting payoffs from them. So this is just, folks, you just can't believe it.
Let's describe, as we peel the layers, let's describe how the corruption works, all right? And it is racketeering, and we'll explain specifically why it is racketeering. So Toll Brothers, and this happens in Irvine, and it happens all across the country, and laws vary from state to state, county to county. There's federal laws.
Isn't the CEO being challenged by stockholders about his exorbitant salary and the money he's getting paid?
For Toll Brothers, right?
Yeah, for Toll Brothers. The CEO is getting sued by taxpayers for his exorbitant salary.
All right, so there is a nursery in Lake Forest.
122 acres.
It is the last
open space,
last green belt
in South Orange County.
In South Orange County and in the city of Lake Forest. So, this is very interesting because it's a case study in that politicians get paid by oligarchs and the Toll Brothers to gaslight the public into something that's has zero common sense, right? And it's going to have horrible long-term effects to the community. So the way the money laundering, racketeering ring works is the Toll Brothers have paid upwards to $1 million to the Orange County, the local Republican Party.
Lincoln Club.
And to the Lincoln Club, which is a political nonprofit. And then they funneled the money in between consultants and then another political nonprofit. It's a perfect example of is the South Orange County Economic Coalition that just randomly all of them mentioned at city council meetings. We're talking about Lake Forest, California, the corrupt city council. They randomly start talking about this place because they funnel money around each other between the consultants, between the nonprofits, and other organizations and individuals.
Well, Josh, not only does, you know, Toll Brothers, they write a big check for the Lincoln Club, but then you got to look at the BIA, Building Industry of America.
Another political nonprofit.
And all those subcontractors, whether it's the concrete guy, the asphalt guy, the water line guy, the gas line guy, all of those guys, it's like the mafia. Hey, you got to give us money, you know?
Well, like a printer, right? Hey, we need you to print 10,000 flyers, but for you to get that job, since this money is coming from the BIA, you're gonna charge me $10,000, but you're gonna kick $2,000 back to me in cash.
Right, and you know when Voight and Robinson, those guys run for election, what's their expense? They have no expense. They just have those cards.
This is now we're districts where it's only 15,000 people, half of which don't vote. Right, so you're only looking at frequent voters. And when they ran citywide, this place is only 82,000 people.
Yeah, so the only expense...
38,000 voters.
The only thing they have are those placards with their name on it. It doesn't say the year or anything like that. It just says, vote Robinson, vote Voights. So and they recycle those. So once they're done with those, they put them in the garage and they bring them back out. But they have $20,000, $30,000, $35,000 in their campaign fund. Where is this money going to? It just suddenly disappears.
And so Voights took $15,000 when he ran unopposed. What's going on with that, Andy?
Yeah, it just totally evaporates. And when you ask him where it's at, he doesn't want to be accountable for it. So where's this money go?
Where's this money? But the problem is you're going to build 49-foot monster homes blocking the sunset. The schools are overcrowded, right? Schools are overcrowded. Traffic, the commute times to get out of the Lake Forest is 8 miles long, 2 miles wide, and it takes 3 miles wide, 3 miles wide, 8 miles long, and it takes 15 to 20 minutes to get out of here, and then you're stopped when you get to Irvine, because Irvine is, if you can believe it or not, even more corrupt, and this gridlock, and what used to be a nice, quiet community. So if you can explain the long-term negative effects of this racketeering of the Toll Brothers getting their way by paying off these corrupt city council people.
Well, the environmental impact report was a 700-page lengthy report. It talked about everything about traffic, school, water, air quality, all that sort of things. And it identified Bake Parkway with four choke points at different intersections. Irvine Boulevard, Toledo, Geronimo, Murrellins. Those are all going to be choke points because 700 homes with two cars per home, that's 1,400 more vehicles on Bake Parkway, and it's already jammed. So in the EIR report, it identified four choke points. The libraries can't take anymore. The schools are overcrowded. The parks are overcrowded. It just doesn't make sense. But these five council members can't look at the facts and know behind them are all these paybacks that they have to give because they've accepted so much money. It's ridiculous. And the thing is, there's going to be a March 2020, there's going to be a ballot and other votes out there. The Saddleback School District is going to have a ballot on whether the taxpayers want to approve a $495 million bond project to modernize the schools. Well, why can't we at the same time in March do a citywide vote for this property? And let the citizens who'll be impacted by it vote on whether this should be rezoned. Right now, it's agriculture. And after agriculture, it should be... I know something's going to be developed there. I can deal with a business park. But a residential area, that's way over the top. It's ridiculous.
All right.
So they've had two council meetings behind closed doors with Toll Brothers, with Nakasay family, and the city council behind closed door for the past two council meetings. And when they come out, the mayor says to the city attorney, anything to discuss about closed meeting? And now the city attorney says, nope, Mr. Mayor, there's nothing. I'm like, you're kidding me, right?
Right. So it's a slap in the face to the taxpayers and to democracy.
Democracy.
Right? Because they instead of having an election, they appointed, like England used to do when they used to have a kingdom, they appointed somebody, which is a slap in the face to democracy in Hong Kong and people who fight for democracy everywhere. Now, with the Nakasay, is the lack of transparency in the backroom deals. Now, let me explain to you this.
After the Marine Corps base closed, the whole dynamics of this area changed. So it changed from light industrial to residential. But during that whole thing, it was called the Opportunity Report. And Nakasay thumbed their nose at it. They didn't contribute, didn't do anything with it, and things like that. But now that they want to sell, they want to go to the front of the class and get whatever they want. But during the Opportunities Report, they had nothing to do with it, didn't contribute any money or anything.
Now, let me ask you this. We'll talk about this, and then you can explain to us the Civic Center fiasco. But about 3 years ago, State Farm pled guilty in federal court to racketeering. And what it was there was a trial with a judge in Michigan who ran for his seat. So this judge had a case that had to do with State Farm and State Farm not paying for a seatbelt deficiency in, I believe, Chrysler's cars when they were available. So what State Farm did was they paid a political nonprofit like the Lincoln Club. They paid them money. And then the nonprofit funneled the money to the judge specifically for this case. So it's racketeering if a corporation pays a nonprofit for a specific vote. So in your opinion, is it racketeering that the Toll Brothers, with no other developments and another, for lack of a better word, nothing going on, no other thing going on, for them to pay $1.5 million, that's a lot of money, in South Orange County, right? $1.5 million to the Lincoln Club and the Orange County Republican Party. They spent
$160,000 on the failed recall of, you guessed it, Lake Forest City Councilman Andrew Robinson.
Hamilton.
Then they spent another $250,000, right, in an election where 40,000 people voted in Lake Forest in 2018 to pay for city council people, right? Doesn't it seem, you know, just the smell test, that they paid this enormous amount of money to get these people on for one project, the Nkasi project, which is a $1 billion project?
Yeah, you gotta, you know, you just connect the dots. If you pay this, it's quid pro quo.
Right.
You know?
Prick quo pro, yeah.
And then we're hearing about it in the news. It's happening right here. Okay, so Toll Brothers, we paid all this money to council members and this thing. That's time for you to pony up. You better vote this thing in. And, you know, it's just, it's a farce from beginning to end. I mean, it's a business park. Why do
you... So you're, you know, how I explained to you State Farm, right? How they paid that judge. Well, isn't it similar to the same way the city council people are getting paid?
I'm not familiar with that case. I'm just saying you do have to look at the money Toll Brothers has contributed, how it gets funneled back to the city council, and for the city council vote, like I said.
Well, my opinion, right, Andy, in my humble opinion, the campaign contributions that the Toll Brothers gave, BIA is in this too, because BIA gets money from the Toll Brothers, and then they funneled it to these city council candidates. Now,
and when we have the
caveat about these city council people is that they're all failed. They're all people that don't have real jobs. They have basically government jobs working for utilities and have never accomplished one thing in their single lives. When they run for office, they never talk about a great accomplishment. Me, all right, I had $8,000 and I was in a redneck town in Pinellas Park, Florida, right? And I took that $8,000 and sold a restaurant 6 years later for $500,000. I feel that was a great accomplishment that I did in my life, that I feel that, hey, I could run for a city council, or I use it to leverage in my current business as a business consultant, right?
Right.
That's something I accomplished and that I did, right?
Right.
What have these people done? Nothing.
No. Well, you look
at... You know, and why are they getting this much money if it's not for the $1 billion Nkasi project?
Well,
it's... Truth is stranger than fiction.
Well, it's eye-opening. You're right. I mean, Tenemer's worked for the water district for over 14 years. Nikki's never had the same position for more than 2 years. She jumps around right now. She's at SoCal Gas Company, which poisoned thousands of people at Porter Ranch, you know, the gas blowout. If I worked for an organization like that, I'd quit. But not Nikki. She stays there. She wants to work for an organization like that. You look at...
And you wonder how she got on the Jay Leno show, right, with the Me Too movie. The way Hollywood works. Yeah.
And then you look at Robinson. He married the daughter. He's working at a grain company, boring as hell. You know, so... And now they
hired... And you got Tenemer, right?
Right.
And Tenemer, Tenemer to me is interesting. He's a good-looking guy. He's worked at this place making $200,000 14 years. But he went to some class to better himself. His wife is very domineering, gives him hand signals of what to say during city council meetings. And you look at his face, and I hate to say this, but you look at people, you measure the man. The guy looks like he's going to slit his wrist at any moment. He looks so depressed.
Well, he definitely looks like a deer in the headlights during council meeting. He's always referring to the city manager because he has no clue what to do, following the agenda. He just looks like a deer in the headlights. And, you know, he's supposed to have office hours on Fridays. I've made an attempt to make an appointment. He blows me off because he knows he can't answer any questions because he doesn't know what the hell's going on.
You and I went in there to interview him. We were just two normal guys, and he was shaking.
Yeah, he didn't know what to do. He can't think on himself. He's like Joe Biden. You know, he needs a teleprompter because he can't navigate on his own.
And his poor wife, who's a guidance counselor at a high school, putting too much pressure on this guy to better himself. He's doing the best he can, you know? At least he hasn't gotten fired from that place, making $200,000.
Well,
$200,000 is good enough money. If you know how to budget,
yeah.
You can live off 200 grand. She must be making at least between 60 and 80 at El Toro.
Well,
right?
You know, Tedemer, Robinson, Nikki, they're all jockeying, you know, for Lisa Bartlett's position. They would want that. Lake Forest is just a stepping stone. But I hate to tell you, Lake Forest is as high as they're going to go. They'll never get another government position. Tenemer once ran for the school board. He got the least votes of anybody.
Right.
So
the only position he's ever been able to win is a rigged election where he has 20 times more money than his opponent. Now, they ran against Dr. Gardner, and they outspent him 10-1, right? And there's only two districts that were an anomaly, and that's one that I personally know was ballot harvesting, and then the other one was where Tenemer lives.
And when it was coming down to the last week of the election, and Tenemer saw himself losing to Dr. Gardner, what's Tenemer do? He pulls out the religious card,
right,
and he calls Dr. Gardner an atheist.
Right.
Dr. Gardner is the one, the champion in God We Trust in the council chambers. And when Tedemer on his first go around vetoed that, he didn't want it.
And Meals on Wheels for the elderly.
Right. He didn't want that either. Both him and Robinson voted against it. So, you know, Tedemer is, this is his second go around on the council. And
yeah, the Christians voting for hungry senior citizens not to get any food. Right. That's why, to be honest, I go to city council meetings instead of watching Showtime and HBO and sitcoms. My wife will watch at home, and maybe I'll catch your crime show with her later. But it's entertaining because the truth is always stranger than fiction.
Yeah. To watch these council members, they have no new ideas. The city manager sets the agenda. They follow it. They don't even know what's going on. It's really... You can go on Facebook Live and see it for yourself, folks. It's there, and it's just five deer in the headlights. None of them know what the hell is going on.
Yes, and we also have a Facebook page that we do for informational purposes so people have research called True Lake Forest Neighborhood Watch and Discussion Page.
And the Civic Center. Oh, they're so excited.
Yeah, yeah. Let's close with the Civic Center taxpayer wasted fiasco.
Well, you know, they're all excited about the new Civic Center.
Where do they get the money for the Civic Center?
Well, it cost $72 million, and the people that bought new homes, they paid a premium because each one of those houses had to contribute to this Civic Center. $72 million is a lot. So people that bought homes at Parkside, across the street from the sports park, Baker Ranch, El Paseo in the Auto Center, Camden Square in the Auto Center, Meritage Homes on Alton and Commerce Center. Now I know why those houses are so darn expensive. They probably each had to pay a $100,000 premium. They went into the Civic Center that cost $72 million. And on the city's website, they admit this came from developer fees. Okay? So it's supposed to open, you know, end of November, early December. But it's a monster. It's going to cost $56,000 a month just to run that place for facilities management. And that's not the cost of electricity or water. And there's two buildings there that need to be having events going on. There's nothing scheduled, okay? They know it would have been January they would have been open, January, February, March. They've got nothing scheduled for these great big rooms that they're so excited about. So they're just going to sit there. And they're paying, quote, a building engineer, that's what they call this person, $160,000 annual salary, who's nothing more than a glorified janitor, to take oversee three buildings. Folks, it's crazy. And when we buy janitorial supplies, simple things as toilet paper, toilet seat covers, hand wash soap, paper towels, Kidder Matthews of Irvine gets 20%. So if that case of paper towels costs $10, we're paying $12. You mean to tell me they can't find somebody in the Civic Center at the city offices to order once a month for waxy basic things? No, Kidder Matthews Irvine does it, and they get 20%. And then our stupid mayor, Tedemer, spends $217,000 on art for this Taj Mahal Civic Center, where locals, heck, our next-door neighbors, Laguna Beach, they have plenty of artists there that would have done it for free.
Yeah, Laguna Beach is an art colony of
actually independent, wealthily liberal, hippie artists.
Right.
That you couldn't even pay them to do anything. And they would do it for free.
Right.
And it's really high-end, high-level. These are people that go to the Louvre once a year. They go to the great artsy places in New York once a year. High-end art talent for free. But yet they choose to waste $217,000 of taxpayers' money.
And the company's located in Long Beach, California, L.A. County. So it wasn't even Orange County company. And you know what? We're stuck with those things for another 50 years. The thing with the Laguna Beach, we could have recycled those. Could have been there 6 months and then come out, and people could have come in and looked at it.
That was a little shady, too. There was not only was there a connection to Robinson, but I thought his body language and his face looked worried when Andy started asking questions, and then he couldn't even contain himself. So after the meeting, he had to ask to make sure that this lady got paid, and there wasn't any tracking of all this.
I finally, after a 3 month request, just last week, I got an itemized list of each of the paintings. And Josh, it'll blow you away. They're spending $5,000, $7,000, $8,000 on individual
pieces.
Paintings. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
And I've been there, all right? I've been there, and I'll be honest, I've been part of the corruption. Where people, artists, have sold paintings to municipalities requiring a kickback. So if the painting's $7,000, I get two in cash. All right? Or else you're not getting the gig. I'll go somewhere else.
So this painting's going to stay on the wall forever because we got $217,000 vested in it.
Why does the city of 82,000 people in a civic center for senior citizens that most people aren't going to go to need $7,000 paintings?
I know, it's ridiculous. And here's the other thing, Josh. There's no public bus access to it. The closest bus stop is at the corner of Lake Forest and Dimension. So from there to the Civic Center is 1.3 miles walking distance.
How are the senior citizens going to get there that aren't part of the busing?
Right.
There's no way an 80-year-old person is going to be walking 2 miles from
it's
the
just,
bus to go there.
This thing sits out in nowhere's land. It's not accessible. And, you know, it just... It's a boondoggle. It's your total boondoggle bureaucracy.
All right, folks. So, again, don't take the word as gospel. Go ahead and do your own research. Listen to the past episode I did with Andy, where we touched on a lot of the corruption in the city. And also listen to the first installment of the homeless series that I'm doing with Dr. Gardner. And we're going to continue with that series. And as things develop here in Lake Forest, we'll have Andy back on I Love South Orange County. And feel free to give us feedback. And thank you to all the people. We had about 10 people who loved Andy's last podcast. Thank you. And we're glad you're listening to this one. And spread the word. And have everybody do their own research. We have a lot of talent here in South Orange County.
Mark your calendar for Tuesday, December 5th, the next council meeting at 6:30 California time. Go to Facebook, go to lakeforestcalifornia.gov, and go Facebook, and you can watch this ridiculous five-member council backpedal and do all the things they do. And just
look at their body language. Look at their facial expressions. And you're going to get a good education of what corrupt people look like.
And so we have been exaggerating. You can see for yourself. It's Facebook Live, 6:30 p.m. at the Lake Forest, California, lakeforest.ca.gov website.
And for those folks around the country, that probably the same thing is going on in your city council and
sure.
your county meetings. All right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to I Love South Orange County. I always close with Winston Churchill. You make a living from what you earn, and you make a life from what you give. All right, have a good one. Thank you for listening to the I Love South Orange County podcast.